week we began this series called Christmas Unwrapped, and I told you that what inspired this series was a day I was just kind of thinking about a few months back. I was thinking about how at Christmas time, your kids, our kids, and everybody pretty much comes under the tree and opens up presents, and no one leaves a Christmas present unwrapped. Everyone opens the Christmas present. And I believe there are many people who simply are at a place in their life where they haven't yet opened the gifts of Christmas that God has given them. In other words, they're leaving the present under the tree, telling God, no thanks, I don't want that gift. Whether it's because of fear or it's because of a certain thought or a certain thing from their past, whatever it may be. As we're talking about really opening up the gifts that God has for you. And my hope for you is that you would consider opening up all the gifts that God has for you, especially in this season of time. So last week we talked about forgiveness. If you missed that, you can go check that out on our website. But today I want to talk to you about the gift of His Word. So I bought a present today to share with all of you. And I just wondered if somebody could guess what this is. I'm not sure what it said, but anybody have a guess? Olive oil.
Olive oil.
Just because my dad's from Cuba, it's got to be a Cuban spice. Anyways, anybody can guess what this is?
Cider.
Are you scared? Why are you scared? I think some of these.
Bubble bath.
What is it?
Wine.
Now, some of you are thinking, he didn't bring wine in church. Well, yes, I did. Yes, 100%. It's a bottle of wine, right? And the reason why I decided to, my wife wrapped this really good. I decided to bring a bottle of wine was because I thought I would share it all. Get any more wine? Is this all we need to talk about? He's like, I'll just take the bottle. I mean, I'm going to need more than that. But the reason why I decided to bring in this bottle of wine is because I figured it would be an easy thing for you to guess. It's not because I drink this stuff at all, but I don't do that. I'm just kidding. I have a glass of wine once in a while. Okay. The reason why I brought this in is because I figured you could guess what it is pretty easy, and most of you did. It's pretty easy to see what it was just by the shape. And I thought about this, and I thought, you know, wine, it's interesting. If I gave you a bottle of wine, you'd say, man, thanks for the gift. I appreciate it. But the gift isn't the bottle of wine, is it? The gift really is what's on the inside of the bottle. It's the wine. It's the thing that's on the inside. Does that make sense? And I think a lot of people think about the Bible the same way. Anybody know what this is? That's the Bible. See how good you are? And for some of you, I could wrap this up or something, and you might still be able to guess that's a book. Maybe eventually land it's a Bible. But if I just showed it to you, you'd say that's a Bible. But I just want you to know today, and I'm going to put this into your heart so deep it never leaves. The gift is not the Bible. The gift is what's on the inside of it. Some of you have been staring at your Bible like this. Man, that's good. That's a bottle of wine. But you've never tasted it, so you have no idea what it is. You're just staring at a closed bottle of wine, never enjoying it at all. Last night, we celebrated 12 years of marriage, me and my wife, Carissa. And there was a certain wine on sale that passed down the Publix aisle. And it was one of my favorite wines that I've tasted before. And occasionally, I have a glass. I don't drink beer or liquor, but occasionally I have a glass of wine. And I just have one, just so you know. And if it's a hard day, sometimes two. No, I might have a glass of wine. Do not get drunk. It's a sin. But I had a glass of wine last night, you know, and the wine tastes good. Any wine, wine's good. You know, it tastes really good. And I had a piece of grass-fed steak. It was good, you know, to compare it, some Brussels sprouts, and it was good. And it's my anniversary, we went all out. So, but we made it at home to save money, so we didn't go all out. But I'm just saying, you know, I had this sip of the wine, and I'm like, man, it's good, you know, it tastes good. You don't know what God has for you until you actually open it. I think a lot of people go buy a Bible. They put a Bible on their coffee table, and then it goes away in their Christmas box until next Christmas. I was walking down Publix aisle the other day, in the center of the aisle, right by the cash register. You can go up right here, Publix, right by the church. And there's a whole bunch of, like, Christian books. I never see those until December. I wonder how many people live the same way. God has given you a gift, and every year you shake it, you look at it, but when Christmas comes to an end, you have nothing to do with it. And you're just staring at a good bottle of wine that you never opened and tasted before. This is the best wine you ever drink in your life right here. But you got to open it. You got to open the gift that God has given you. I want to talk to you today about opening your Word of God. I want to talk to you about simply unpacking. Here, take this. Are you over 21? Can you take this for me? Come here, Alex. If I'm excited. So excited. Yeah. You can always count on him to come through. My goal today is to empower you in discovering what lies inside of the Word of God by teaching you, and this is the first note to take, how to unwrap the gift of God's Word so that you can discover who He is and all that He has for you. Now, I think our ushers came by earlier. Did we pass out the notes? Okay. I want everybody to follow along in the notes. Normally, we don't do notes this way, but there's so many points. I've got to make sure that you write this stuff down. Okay. Number one. Remove distractions. What I want to teach you as your leader and your pastor, I've got to make sure you know how to read your Word. I thought about this even this morning. I thought, if there is one thing you ever took from this church, if I stand, when I do stand before God and I give it to account about how I led you, I will make sure I can at least stand before them and say, God, I taught them how to read your Word. I told them to read your Word. Because for me, that is the most important thing you ever do in your life. This church will be everything God wants it to be as long as it's filled with people who read God's Word. There is no way we don't accomplish everything God calls this community of believers to do at Brave. There is no way that happens, that does not happen, if all of you are obeying His Word. When Joshua took over Moses' leadership and Moses dies off, there's one command that Moses told Joshua to make sure that he told the people. You know what it was? Obey His Word. Moses, as great of a leader as he was, you know what his final conclusion when he was 120 years old and dies off? Obey God's Word. And then he tells Joshua, Joshua, go tell them everything I just told you. You know how Joshua sums it up? Obey God's Word. We got to read it daily. We got to put it inside of our hearts and do what it says to do. And if we do it, this is what Joshua says, God will give us everything that He desires to give us. We'll be successful in all the things that we do if we do what the Word of God says to do. We have to open our Word. But first, I want to teach you about how to do that. Number one, remove distractions. Look what Mark said. Mark 1:35. It says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, and He left the house, and He went off to a solitary place where He prayed. And I've taught on this before about how in Jewish culture, one of the things they do, still to this day, they take a tallit. It's like a blanket, if you would, okay? And it's got different tassels all around it. It's got 613 different knots and strings. 613 of those is to be symbolic for the 613 laws in the Torah. And so what a Jew would do is come to a place of prayer, and they'll take this tallit, they'll take this prayer shawl, this blanket, if you would, and they'll cover their faces. You might have seen this before. They'll cover their faces as they enter into a moment of prayer with God. And then they'll say the same blessing as they put this prayer blanket over them to cover themselves up, and they'll say, blessed are you, Lord our God, ruler of the universe, who sanctified us with His commandments and commanded us to wrap ourselves in the tzitzit. This is like this prayer they'll say. And then some of them will take off the blanket, kind of let it on their head, and some will stay in it. The whole purpose of that is to remove the distractions of the world around them and get into a moment of concentration with the Creator of the universe. So when they pray, pray, they say, you know, I'm going to put myself in a closet. That's what Jesus says. I'm going to remove distractions around me. Jesus would go away, get alone in prayer all throughout the New Testament. Why? I've got to get some place around me where I can hear what God is saying. I can focus on what he is wanting me to say to him, what I need to say to him, what he's got to say to me. I've got to remove the distractions in my life. I think many of our people around don't spend enough time in God's word. And they don't start with removing distractions. Now, I know I'm going to get an amen on this. Kick the kids out of the house. See? Remove the distractions. When you go to God's word, remove the distractions. One of the things people do nowadays with technology and phones, I'm not against the Bible app. I have a Bible app. I'm not against cell phones. I have a cell phone. I get it. But one of the things I have found in my personal life, and maybe you can relate to this, whenever you open up the Bible app or you open the Bible on your phone or you're reading something on your phone, I don't know about you, but I get these things called notifications. Or I get the email, beep, you know, email comes up or a text message comes up. And before I know it, I'm watching ESPN and I have no idea how I got there. You know, and I was trying to read the Bible and I think, well, you know, who won last time? Let me go check that real quick. And then I open up YouTube TV, you know, or something. Does that make sense? And so I'm just saying to you, it's hard to sometimes remove distractions, but at the same time, the thing that you're reading the Bible on is distracting you. All I'm trying to push on today is some of you got to start to remove the distractions and get alone with God. That is what is stunting your growth the most. When was the last time, you don't have to answer out loud, that you removed the distractions and you just got alone with your Creator? God is wanting to speak to some of you. You've got to remove the distractions. Number one, you've got to remove distractions around you. Number two, decide before you read. Decide before you read. Some of you are still doing this. Jesus, oh Lord, what in the world do you want me to... Okay, I'll read nothing. Let's see here. Lord... How many of you guys, raise your hands. My eyes are closed. I won't look at you. How many of you have done this? Jesus, if you're real, come on, Jesus. Then they dress their gods in royal blue. I'm wearing blue today. How many of you guys have done that before? You're just trying to figure out what the world of God's saying. I have nowhere to start. Look at the hands, right? Or some of you seriously, you do this, and you just... Yeah. Yeah. You have to decide before you read. Now, I believe in praying before you go to the Word of God. God, if there is a book you want me to read, you show me. And there are times the Holy Spirit will nudge you and say to you, Joshua, or Psalms, or whatever it may be. So there are times that happens. But I have found in my personal life, it is often best to decide before you read. So I wrote down for you, and I've broken down for you. And I don't have the scripture on this, but I've just given you practical concepts to this. Look at your notes. I've given you different sections of the Bible, so you can see the Bible. Maybe you never saw it this way before. There are, number one, historical books. These are always speaking to the historical significance of the Word of God. So if you're trying to dive into the history, go read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Nehemiah, Acts. All that's written out for you on your notes. So you have no more excuses, okay? Because it's all in your notes. You can take that paper with you. It's free. You can have it. So take that with you. All right, those are historical books. So if you're trying to get into history, go read those books. If you're like, history is not my thing right now, you know, then don't go read those books. Wisdom. I'm looking for making some wise decisions. It's about living wisely. Read Proverbs. Songs of Solomon. Job. Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. If you want to just get wisdom as a leader, as a parent, how do I parent these kids? How do I make this decision on buying or selling this house? What do I do? Go read Proverbs. Some of you text more people about what you should do than you do asking God, the creator of the universe, what you should do. And then you go to God, God, tell me what to do. And then God doesn't say nothing. Because he's like, I already texted you that message. Go read Proverbs. God, answer me. I did. And it's printed in a bunch of translations. Some of you never think about stuff like this. It's right here. All the answers you need to your life. In God's Word. It's right here. Second one, or third one, poetry books. This is for all the emotional people. If you're dealing with emotions, anxiety, stress, worry, heaviness, Psalms. If you want some, just, you know, intimacy. I don't know how to say this word without just some good rated R content. Read Songs of Solomon. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about because you've never read Songs of Solomon, but now you're going to go read it. That's fine. As long as I got you in God's Word, I'm good. It's all about marriage. Okay? And it gets heavy. Have you read Songs of Solomon? Anybody read Songs of Solomon or something? See, all the ones you're missing out. It gets heavy. Get ready. Don't let your kids read Songs of Solomon. Not yet. But you'll be ready for questions. What did he mean by what he would do to her? Anyways, you can explain that, and you do that your own. That's why I haven't preached on it yet. I will soon. Lamentations. If you feel like crying, read Lamentations. I don't know if you ever do, but if you just need a good cry, open up Lamentations, and you will cry, because it's a book of weeping. I don't know if you know this or not. If you don't want to cry, be sad and depressed, don't read Lamentations. Just so you know. Prophecy. God speaking through his prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. Okay, there's major prophets and there's minor prophets. But we won't go into that. If you want to read some things that were prophesied about God or things to come in the future, different prophetic statements that were given to the nation of Israel, read those books. Apocalyptic literature. These are things that focus on the future. Daniel, God of dreams. Revelations, of course, end times. The Gospels, this is all about the life of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Epistles, these are letters to churches, predominantly letters to churches or believers or new believers, but Romans, Corinthians, Ephesians, Galatians, Colossians, right? Most of those are, of course, all written by Paul. So all I'm saying to you is that maybe as you're thinking about what you're going to read in God's Word, decide before you read and make a decision. And maybe as I gave you that list on that piece of paper that you're looking at, there's a particular book that stands out to you. And for some reason, you're pulled in a certain direction or a name just jumps out. And then maybe you start to go read that book. You just start to read the book and you read through the book. And you see what God is trying to speak into you or through you in the season of life that you're in as you're reading through it. I do believe, by the way, for most people starting in faith, if you are starting to faith or considering faith, it's best to begin somewhere in the Gospels, normally. It doesn't mean you have to. I've just found that tends to be the best place to start, is learning about the life of Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection. And so you can read the Gospels on that. I hope this is so practical for you that maybe today you're like, I never saw it that way before. So decide before you read. That helps a lot. Meditate, number three, on what you read. Psalm 1:3 says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. Psalm 1:3. Can we put it up for him real quick? Do we have it? Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Who's they? The people who meditate on his law day and night. And I've taught this before about that word meditate. It was a Hebrew word of haggah. Do you remember this? And it was like it meant to growl or to roar like a lion. You haggah on God's word. And if you get like something caught in your throat, so just try it. Haga, you know, and just get it like, and if you want to say it like a lion and get all into it, you can if you want to. Haga, you know, you can do it however you want. But this is what it meant. It meant to shred it to pieces. When a lion kills its prey and stands over it, he says, don't come near this. I've got something I'm chewing on. This is not for you to take. If a lion just kills an animal and you walk up to it, the lion will say, you won't even have a chance. It's, no, this is mine. I'm shredding this thing, and I'm going to consume every single part of it that I want until it becomes a part of my being. And so the lion takes the flesh of the animal, puts it to the mouth, the blood and the whole thing, doesn't it? And just lets it go down, right? And it becomes part of the process. Do I need to explain to you how this works? The meat goes into the lion. The lion absorbs the meat. The nutrients from the meat go into his muscles. He gets stronger, he gets bigger, and eventually a little bit comes out. Does that make sense? It's become part of the being. What am I trying to tell you today? This is so important. If I had one message, this would be the message to you. This is it. Meditate on God's word. Chew on it. Absorb it. Every single day until it becomes a part of your being. The reason why people show up bored to church is because they ain't chewed on it enough. Why isn't God moving in my life? How often do you chew on this thing? It's in here. He says, if you do this, this is not my promise to you. This is the promise of God. He says, if you do this, if you meditate on this until it becomes a part of your being, if you hug on this thing day and night, I got a promise for you, not me. God has a promise for you. Whatever you do will prosper. It's true. That's what God says. God never lies. He says, eventually you become like this tree. You can't skip the hard work to bear fruit for God's kingdom. It's found in his word. Heard this quote from a Puritan preacher, Thomas Watson. He said this, meditation without reading is wrong and bound to error. Can I say that again to you? Meditation without reading is wrong and bound to error. You know what he's talking about? Yoga. Now, I like doing yoga, so don't jump too fast. But prayer, yoga, meditation, stretching, working out, all that stuff that decompresses you, that's great. But it cannot transform your heart. It can't cleanse the sin that's inside of you. It can't establish a pure heart of righteousness in the eyes of God alone. It has its place, meditation, and however you might meditate. Whatever that may look like for you, I don't know. All I'm saying is, it doesn't satisfy the whole thing. It doesn't take care of the soul in order to build you up into the image of God. So meditation alone can't save you. Says, no. Goes on to say, reading without meditation is the same way. You can't just read without meditating on it because it's barren and fruitless. Here's how you know if you're just reading it without meditating on it. You get your phone out. You Google search devotion of the day. Love the Lord God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. Thanks, Jesus. I did my devotion. Some of you have been wrapped up in a devotion for so many years. You feel so good about yourself, but you forgot to open the most important thing, your word. When was the last time you read the word? I'm okay with devotions. I'm fine. I read devotions. I write devotions. Sometimes I write them to myself just to bring more devotion to myself. I'm good with devotion, you know. That's fine. But don't let it replace the word of God. When was the last time you looked for something you didn't understand? Don't wait for me to teach you all this stuff. Open your word. I told you I'm going to get this in you. If there's one thing you walk out of here knowing is he really wants to read the Bible. It's so important. So important. So you say, well, how do I do this? I heard it said in Bible college this way. I tell people this all the time. It's not about how much you read. It is not about how much you read. It's about how you read it. Don't worry about how much I've read. Don't brag about how much I've read. I don't care. I read the Bible in a year. Great. Fantastic. I read it 3 times. Awesome. Doesn't matter to me how much you read the Bible. It's how you read it. Did it transform your life? Is it doing something in you? Is it molding you and shaping you into a better dad? A better husband? A better worker? Are you more honest than you used to be? You know, how's it changing your heart? What's it doing to you? That's what matters the most. It's how you read it, allowing it to go inside of you. So I'll give you some, look at your notes. I gave you a real practical example of this. Here's how you do that. How do I do this? Ready? Here's how you can meditate. Look up parallel passages. This is so practical. When you read the Bible, start to look up parallel passages. Different parts of the Bible that say the same thing. In the Gospels, you'll see sometimes the same story written several different times by different authors, so you get different perspectives on it. You can Google search, hey, I'm reading John 3:16, just John 3:16, parallel passage. And probably a list of parallel passages will come up. If you have a study Bible, we'll talk about that in a minute. Study Bibles will have, you know, different parallel passages in the middle of it too. And so, different translations, okay? That's a way to just absorb it, keep repeating it to yourself. Read commentaries. A commentary is just somebody's basically perspective on the Bible. There are biblical scholars out there who take word for word for word for word and break it down in Hebrew and Greek and New Testament, Old Testament, and then they, you know, help you bring it to life. Okay, this is another way you can do it. You say, well, where do I find commentaries? I think I misspelled it on your notes, but blueletterbible.org. Look at your notes, blueletterbible.org. I use this all the time. BibleGateway.com. Different translations, different commentaries. Go in and just read a verse that stands out to you, then go look what the commentary says on it. And read different commentaries on it to get different perspectives on it until you chew on it some. Get a life application study Bible. I'll talk about that later on in the service. Download a Bible app. Watch some videos. My wife the other day was telling me, hey, you know, I was reading a book in the Bible, she was reading Ephesians. You know what my wife told me just yesterday? She told me this, which was like a present to me. She said, just so you know, I've been reading through Ephesians, but I did what you said this time. I went and read about the preface stuff. Like, I read the preface, you know, and I read just a summary first. And I read about who the author was, and I read about who he was writing to and why he was writing to them. And I'm telling you, I'm getting more out of it. It's like, yeah, I know. This is for real, John. I've been telling her to read the Bible for 12 years. And she's like, you know, I decided to read the little page that comes before chapter 1 in her study Bible, the preface, the summary. She did it. She's like, get more out of it. Then she went and watched the video on the Bible app just to get, she goes, I started to watch the video on the Bible app of Ephesians so I could watch it first like a movie. Now I'm reading it and I'm getting more out of it. There's hope. You might be a leader in our church one day. This is great. You're on your way. No, she is a leader. Amen. But devotionals. Okay? All right. Number four. I hope I spent enough time on that one. Number four. Grab a pen. Habakkuk 2 says this. I will climb to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There I will wait. Let's grab a pen, by the way, if you missed it. There I will wait to see what the Lord says to me. Look at this. Everybody look at the screen. Look at the period. There I will wait to see what the Lord says. How many of you pray and you do this right there? There I will wait to see what the Lord says. I'm going to pray and then I'm going to wait to see what he says. Some of you, God's trying to talk to you, but all you do is talk, 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 I love you, this is why I'm telling you this. I felt so inclined as your pastor today to give this message. It is all over me, if you can't tell. God has burdened me. You have to start reading your word. And if you are, fantastic. Keep praying for our church and others to pick up their word and do it daily. It's so important. It'll change your whole life, change your marriage. How you parent, everything else. The kind of worker you are, everything. Change your life. My messages will not change your life. God's word will. I promise you. I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he answers me. Now look what God says. Then the Lord said to me, get a pen. Grab a pen. Because see, you forget half the stuff I say. In fact, you forget 95% of the stuff I say. How many of you have to repeat yourself to your spouses? Now raise your hand if you're daring. Go ahead. You have to repeat yourself to your children. You have to repeat. If you're a manager, a leader, and you have to repeat yourself to your employees, you're like, you know, I put the vision statement on the wall, The other day, I was talking to Yana, and she said, I know our purpose statement, know God, make him known. And I went, I don't stop. Know God personally, grown in relationship, make him known publicly. Oh, yeah. You can put stuff on the wall that people forget stuff. Yes? So God is smart enough, and he says, write it down, grab a pen. Because you're going to forget what I'm about to tell you, Habakkuk. You're going to forget, and that's okay. So write it down. Some of you are struggling with the same sin, the same issue, year after year after year after year. You know why? He already answered you years ago. You just forgot the answer. Because you didn't write it down. Grab a pen. Habakkuk, write it down. Plainly, legibly. Some of you fill out connection cards and we go, what? We had a prayer request come in the other day. This is true. Anonymous, you put your name on. That's fine. You don't have to. We couldn't pray for you because we didn't know what the world had said. We took guesses and we thought of it. I think it says pray for Great Church. That's what we'll do. Just pray for us. So we did. We took our best guess. He says, write it down plainly so you can read it. You ever wrote so bad you can't read your own writing, by the way? I do. I'm trying to answer you, so write this down plainly so you can read it so that runners can carry the correct message to others. Now, here's what I do. You should steal what I want. You know, what I do, if you want to steal it, steal it. If you have a better way of doing it, you do this. I journal all my answers. I grab my pen. I grab my journals. I have several journals that are filled up, and I'm still writing in a journal. And that journal is not just like how my day was. It's God's answers to my prayers. And I write it down for this reason. So the message can get to others. And in my specific reasoning is for my children. When dad goes away, my prayer is those journals will end up in my children's hands. And they will see God's journey with their dad. And they'll see my struggles. They'll see my hardships. They'll see my victories. And most importantly, they will see the faithfulness of their creator. So I leave it to them. So they can read it. And they can go, that dad was jacked up. Man. You know? And I'm real in that journal. I've exposed it all. And I said bad things about nobody, but some people. And they're going to know. I can't believe. And just so you know, it's going to be exposed, you know. And I want them to have the honesty and the truth. Don't you know this? You wouldn't have this if someone didn't grab a pen and write down what God was doing in their life. Named David, named Moses, named Joshua, named Esther. You wouldn't have this stuff if somebody didn't grab a pen to write it down for you. Write it down. And unless you plan on sharing your future notes app on an iCloud device and somehow transporting it to your children, maybe you got a plan to do that. I don't know how that unfolds. Because by some point, iPhone 27 is going to, and it won't be compatible with the iPhone 10. And I'm just not convinced that I'll be able to pass on my notes app. At some point, guess what? Your notes app will go away. I promise you at some point. So I've got a pen and paper. And that'll never fade. Does that make sense? Like, it'll be there long enough. Make sense? Grab a pen. All right. Are we good today?
Yes.
Got just about a few more minutes. Listen to songs of worship, number 5. Songs of worship. Colossians 3:16 says this. Let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Let the message about Christ and all of its richness fill your life. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing songs and hymns. Now notice. Let the message of Christ about all of its richness fill your life. I want you to teach. I want you to counsel each other in it. I want you to meet in community groups about it. Right? I want you to talk about it, gather around it. Oh, and by the way, I want you to sing songs about it. Spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. God created music. And he did it. Everybody, do you remember this song called ABCs? Do you know the song, The ABCs? Did anybody not know the song, The ABCs? Sing the song, The ABCs. Who's daring? Sing it. Come on, Alex. Now, why you gotta do that? Like, you didn't hear the version that goes, Like, why is Elemental P so fast, by the way? They always mess up this. You know, why is it L-M-N-O, but it doesn't. It goes Elemental P. And I think at some point, some kid was saying it, and they couldn't say it, and they're just stuck, because they always mess up their Elemental P, R, S, you know? Do you know the song The ABCs?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know the song Ice Ice Baby? All right, stop. Look at that. I know I'm white too, but it's funny your white people go, collaborate and listen. Yeah. So I don't know who it was, that's funny. I was listening to it yesterday. Yeah. We know the songs. You hear a song from 10 years ago, you still know the words? Isn't that crazy? Put a song on from the 80s or 90s, nobody heard when you grew up, and just go back, and you're just like, man, it just comes back. Doesn't it? It's like put it to lyrics to a melody somehow. God said, I want you to do this with spiritual songs. Because I want you to sing songs because I know it, how I created you and wired you. And when you put a tune to it, it gets inside of you. So I want you to sing songs. I want you to put some worship around you, put some music around you, and sing songs and worship. Sometimes I play instrumental music. This is what I do, instrumental. You know, I just want to like listen to it. Just kind of quietness and stillness. Sometimes I go with no music. Sometimes I put on a favorite song that's been rolling me lately, a song called Sea of Victory. That's been a song that's been really moving in me personally lately, and I believe God's going to be bringing a victory to Brave and soon to people's lives. And so that's a song that God's moving in me. All I'm saying to you is listen to songs of worship. Put some worship songs. Put some songs of worship and praise and see if one stands out to you from time to time. It's another way to get the most out of God's word. Number six, last one, do what it says. James 1:22 says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says to do. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. All scripture is God-breathed. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God, and this is so important, so the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The word of God is the only place in all the world where you can find firsthand account of Jesus and of his teaching. And he created the word of God so that you would be equipped for every good work that he has for you. It's able to teach, rebuke, correct, and train in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I don't know if we have this quote up, but if we don't, that's fine. The study of scriptures, I read this and I thought, I gotta give this to you. The study of scriptures must never be selfish. Never simply for the good of a man's own soul. Any conversion which makes a man think of nothing but the fact that he has been saved is no true conversion. I'm going to say that again. Any conversion which makes a man think of nothing but the fact that he has been saved is no true conversion. He must study the scriptures to make himself useful to God and his fellow men. No man is saved unless he is on fire to save his fellow men. Now listen, here's what that quote is saying. If all Christianity does to you is say, thank God I'm going to heaven, I don't think you've experienced the fullness of God. When you open God's word, it transforms your whole life. How you see finances, how you see giving, how you see parenting, how you see love, how you see forgiving, how you see mercy, how you see compassion. It changes everything about you. And it's right here. Sundays will not change your life. They might have a piece of it. There might be a moment on a Sunday where something triggers something. But the only thing that'll change your marriage is this. The only thing that'll bring out everything God's created you to do is this. We have to be a church that opens and unwraps the gift of God's word and tastes what's inside of it. The word of God is a gift to you and me because we get to know our creator in it. We know the reason for which we were created. The Bible is a letter to you. Some of you have been seeing it as a book. It's a letter to you from God. The creator of the universe wrote you a letter. It's called the Bible. And it's to you. A letter about truth, the truth of his love and his grace. He wrote it so that we would know him and discover who we are in him. And my hope for you this Christmas is that you would unwrap the gift of God's word, that you would fully immerse yourself in it. And as you immerse yourself in his word, you immerse yourself in him. I wrote this down in my notes. I've got to say it to someone in the room. I don't know who you are. No more excuses. This Christmas, open his word and find the life you were meant to live. Amen. Receive that. Here's what I want to leave you with. The challenge. We got, I think, 22 days or so starting tomorrow until the end of the year. And I just want you to imagine what your life with God would be like if you opened the word of God like this. Not opening daily devotionals. Nothing wrong with daily devotionals. Read them. That's great. I'm talking about getting into the history of the text if you've never done that. I'm talking about reading about wisdom. I'm talking about reading about relationships. I'm talking about reading about finances. I'm talking about dissecting it and getting into the word of God. Just imagine what your relationship with God would be like if you did this daily. Not rushing to read it in a month. We're not going to do that. But simply reading it to get to know your Maker and Savior just a little bit better. So here's my challenge over the next 3 weeks until the end of the year. To get to know the Word of God. And here's how much I want you to know the Word of God. Just 5%. Just 5% more. Don't try to get the whole theology behind it. Don't try to read the whole Bible in the next 3 weeks. I'm going to complete the whole Old Testament. No, you won't. Okay? I mean, if you do, that'd be fine, but you wouldn't have meditated on it. Get the Word of God out. Get one. And just get to know God through His Word just 5% better. If you have a question about who God is, go read John chapter 1. And read it again and again and again and again for the next 3 weeks. You have a question about giving and generosity, go read Corinthians, 1st or 2nd Corinthians if you want. Read chapter 8, chapter 9 if you want. You want to know about the church and what it really means to be a church. I don't believe in church. Why do we do church? Why do they do church? Go read the book of Acts and read it again and again and again and again until it stirs something in you, molds you just 5% better. What will the next 3 weeks look like if you just open God's word? I'm going to read it. That's all my hope for you is this Christmas. Can we pray together? Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we thank you for your word. What a gift it is. It has shown us who we are. And you have revealed everything in it that we need to know about you. You didn't leave anything out. It is full of truth. It is full of grace. Jesus, thank you for bringing your word in the form of a human named Jesus Christ. Thank you for your beautiful word.